Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Gay Hamilton, and it's my absolute pleasure as the Director of ScienceWorks to welcome you all here this evening. This is a fantastic gathering of people, and we're delighted that so many of you are able to join us here for this very special launch of our latest exhibition, Space, which has been put together by SciTech Discovery Centre in Perth. A very warm welcome in particular to Dr. Andrew Thomas, NASA astronaut, Australian born of course, and to the CEO of Museum Victoria, Dr. Patrick Green. Patrick has the honour this evening of officiating at the first of the ScienceWorks launches that we've managed to hold since he arrived here and took up his post, so we're very honoured. And delighted to have so many friends of ScienceWorks here from many and varied areas of our extended family and network. Thank you all for joining us. As you know, ScienceWorks is a campus of Museum Victoria, and our aim really is to get you involved with science and technology, to try and provide each of us with ways of learning more about the science and technology in our everyday lives, and make sure that we can involve our visitors, and ourselves of course, by not just looking, but being hands-on in very many different ways. So we're here as a part of the broader museum community, and looking forward to serving you for many more years. You'll notice behind me, a sign celebrating our 10th year. And we're delighted that at this stage, over nearly 3.5 million people have visited ScienceWorks in the 10 years since we've been operating. And that's a fantastic achievement. And we're hoping you'll continue to spread the good word so that we have another such pleasant and enjoyable 10 years. What we want to do is continue to grow our audience, grow our partnerships, and grow our fantastic opportunities to assist you to become more involved. And in doing this, tonight's exhibition is no exception. It's a terrific opportunity, and we'll tell you more about it shortly. As we look to the future, we're in a very privileged position to have Patrick is our new CEO. Patrick brings with him a wealth of experience from the international museums arena, and in particular from having had experience as director of the Museum of Science and Industry in Manchester. He's very well known internationally and locally for his many views on how contemporary museums should operate and be a part of the community into the future. We're really looking forward to the green era, and it is my great pleasure to introduce Dr. Patrick Green to speak to you this evening.
Thank you, Gay, for those very kind words of welcome. I've been here with Julia, my wife, about 10 or 11 weeks now, and we have been made extraordinarily welcome. We feel very much at home here, and we're enjoying Melbourne very much. How could we not on a wonderful day like this? Well, in thanking you, Gay, I want to welcome everyone here on behalf of my colleagues in ScienceWorks, my colleagues in Museum Victoria generally, and of course members of the board, several of whom are here tonight. And we thank you all for coming. We sent out the invitations and hoped we would get about 150 people, and we were going to hold this event in the planetarium. In fact, there are more than 400 people here, and we've had to switch it out here. And, of course, Gay and her team organised the perfect weather for this. Well, the exhibition that Dr. Andy Thomas is going to open for us tonight, and we're very honoured to have Andy with us, is a collaboration. It's been developed by the SciTech Discovery Centre in Perth, as you've heard, and it is a sort of collaboration which is a characteristic increasingly of museums worldwide, and certainly those in Australia. Indeed, ScienceWorks and SciTech will be collaborating to develop an exhibition on the science of toys, and we've just signed the agreement on that. So that's an exciting prospect for the future. But this exhibition, Space, will give ScienceWorks visitors a real opportunity to understand and appreciate the complexity and the excitement of the tasks involved in space exploration, and will evoke a sense of wonder for space above our heads and around us and beyond planet Earth. So it may be the closest that any of us get to understanding what it will be like, or what it is like, to work in space as an astronaut, apart from one person, of course, and that's Andy. Well, it's many years since the moon landings and Apollo missions gave space front page news on all of our newspapers. However, that doesn't mean to say that it's gone away. Indeed, it's possible to say that we're entering a particularly intense period of space exploration, many aspects of which are done with unmanned vehicles. So as we speak, Galileo is approaching Jupiter's moon, Europa, and several different missions are in the process or about to launch for Mars, including one which I know a bit about, which is Beagle II. The first Beagle was the ship which Charles Darwin took to explore particularly the southern hemispheres, and which was so instrumental in developing his theories on life on Earth. And Beagle 2 is aiming to investigate life on Mars. Well, also this week we've read of a theory of dinosaur extinction being caused not by one, but by three almost simultaneous meteor hits on the Earth, asteroid hits, 65 million years ago. So space is all around us, and it's telling us, the research is telling us about the past and the future. And I believe that museums are ideally placed not only to convey the excitement of space exploration, but also to communicate the advances in space science and our understanding that result from it to everyone. Museum Victoria has certainly risen to the challenge. We will be providing an intensive insight into worlds beyond our own through four great programs this summer. And these are, we're calling, under the banner, Summer of Space. One of these is the special exhibition Space, which you'll be seeing shortly. The second is an exhibition called To Mars and Beyond, which will be opening at the Melbourne Museum on the 3rd of December, featuring, amongst other things, Sir Isaac Newton's telescope and Andy's spacesuit. The third is Space Station, the 3D film at the IMAX Theatre at Melbourne Museum. And, of course, here, also at ScienceWorks, we have the magnificent Melbourne Planetarium with its wonderful shows. So I think that by the end of this summer, Melbourne will be able to claim to have a greater knowledge of space than any city this side of Houston. Indeed, if you take up Linda's invitation to try this at home with the rocketry you saw out there before, I think that'll be intensified. But if you do try that, please do choose understanding neighbours. So this is very much a working together between the campuses of Museum Victoria, and it's something we'll be marketing to everyone in Victoria with all sorts of promotional deals and so on. Anyway, enough of the marketing. What I want to do is, again, welcome all of you and hand back to Gay, who is now going to introduce our special guest who will open the exhibition and make a very special presentation of a very special something.
Thanks, Patrick, very much. Dr. Andy Thomas has achieved overwhelming excellence in academic endeavours. He holds a Bachelor of Engineering with first class honours and a PhD in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Adelaide. Following 12 years' work in fluid dynamics, aerodynamics and aeroacoustics, he joined the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in the USA and focused on scientific investigations and studies on space flight hardware for NASA's shuttle missions. Andy was selected by NASA for astronaut training in 1992. And in a career of many firsts, Andy is the first and only Australian to fly in space, the first Australian to complete a walk, the first Australian to complete training to become a professional astronaut, and the first one to train as a cosmonaut, and the first one to take a kite into space, we believe. He's a veteran of three space flights, and I do mean that in the nicest possible way. Firstly, a 10-day mission on Shuttle Endeavour in 1996, a 141-day mission on board the Mir space station in 1998. And in 2001, he was Astronaut Mission Specialist 1 on board Discovery Shuttle Mission STS-102. And this was a 12-day mission to the International Space Station, which included a 6.5-hour spacewalk. That must have been very exciting. At present, he's serving as Deputy Chief of the NASA Astronaut Office at the Johnson Space Centre in Houston. And in this role, he's responsible for preparing astronauts for space missions. And in time, he'll probably rotate back into active astronaut duties. And believe it or not, when he's not involved in space missions, he actually has time for other stuff. Horseback riding, running, cycling, scuba diving, hang gliding, probably not a surprise, and classical guitar playing, and of course of no surprise is the fact that he's now fluent in Russian. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Andy Thomas.
Well, good afternoon, or good evening, and thank you for coming out to this welcoming and welcoming me to ScienceWorks. My thanks especially to ScienceWorks for extending the invitation to come and visit. I've had a busy day, but it's been a lot of fun. My morning started, actually, with a lot of young people, kids, in the exhibit that we're here to open. And it was a lot of fun to see them getting involved in operating these fairly sophisticated devices that mimic some of the things that we have in space. The shuttle simulator, for example, is a very accurate rendition of what we actually use to train on. But there are a lot of other things there which poses challenges to the kids and inspire their imagination. And it was good to see the kids playing with some of these devices and really enjoying them and at the same time learning something. And that, of course, is the value of this kind of exhibit. As I looked at these young people, though, I sort of asked myself, I wonder what their future is going to be. After all, when I was their age, the idea that I could become an astronaut and fly in space was, well, frankly, preposterous. But that happened, so it just leads me to think that some of these young people who are out here with us now are going to have some great adventures. But I do ask, what is the legacy that we are going to leave them? What is the heritage that we will leave them? Are we adequately preparing all of these young people for the future, for the 21st century, which is clearly going to be a century of sophisticated systems and high technology? And I think to get an answer to that, you just have to look at some current trends. And some of them are actually quite sobering. And this is true not just for Australia, actually, but it's true on worldwide. There seems to be an almost worldwide trend, in the Western world at least, that is downplaying the value of science and the value of education in particular. And you can see that in statistics if you look at the number of people that graduate from universities with higher degrees. You can see that there's a tendency for reduced scientific literacy and in some instances in literacy in general. And I think you see now that we have generations being raised with sort of the MTV attention span, something that gives very little depth to people. And I think that's a very sad direction for society to go in. I was actually thinking about this in my hotel room this afternoon, thinking about what I could address on this occasion. And I got a call from a local television station, well, actually a national television station. They wanted to do an interview for one of the morning shows. And I thought, well, that would be good. I could talk about the space exhibit here and how exciting kids get when they go in and start playing, actually putting their hands on things and playing with meteorites and so on. But the TV station did not actually want to talk about any of that. They wanted to talk about the conspiracy theories that NASA's perpetuating, namely that we did in fact not land on the moon, and that it was all staged in a studio somewhere, and it was done just to sustain funding to NASA and beat the Russians and all other kinds of nonsense. I mean, those theories are patently absurd. We know that. At least I hope we all know that. But they are, I think, the fact that theories like that get earplay and would make primetime television is, I think, an indication that some of the social values that we hold to be important are actually failing. It's what I call a weakening of sort of the intellectual integrity of society, and it's diminishing social values, diminishing value being attached to education. And this leads to disruptions in society. It leads ultimately to social conflicts, and I think we all know where those can go. But it's not all gloom and doom, because I think we can reverse that trend, and I think organizations like ScienceWorks are really good in that regard, because they capture children's imaginations at a very early age. They inspire curiosity in young people. It gets them to think about things that they would not otherwise think about. And we need to do that. We need to continue to inspire young people's curiosity and reward it with knowledge and with education. And education, of course, comes from the education system, but inspiration and curiosity come from ScienceWorks and organizations like ScienceWorks. And that's why I think the exhibit here and the kind of activities that ScienceWorks promotes are laudable, and I can't speak too highly of it. We all know that what we give a child will stay with that child all its life, and will drive the directions that child takes its life. But if you can inspire a whole host, a whole generation of young people, you can really affect change in society, and you can make the future community better and stronger. And that's what organizations like ScienceWorks do. So I want to praise ScienceWorks for their efforts in this area, and I particularly want to praise the various corporate organizations that sponsor ScienceWorks. I think they do a great thing for the community in doing this. And the state government as well is to be praised for keeping this legacy alive, because it will make a difference in the future. So with that, I will close, and I will in a moment officially declare the exhibit open. But before I do that, there is one thing that I would like to do. Carla, if you could pull that out for me. When I flew my flight last year, I was given the opportunity, as astronauts are, to fly artifacts for organizations into space, which they can then use perhaps to help promote the cause. And I contacted ScienceWorks because I wanted to fly something from ScienceWorks to help give them an opportunity to get some attention in the media, which I think they needed. So we talked about it, and we decided that what we could do would be to fly a kite, namely this kite. Now, a kite's very interesting, because a kite is perhaps mankind's earliest attempt at into aviation. I think it originated in China in the Middle Ages, and of course it was from kites that we learned about gliding. We learned ultimately about powered flight, and that ultimately has taken us out into space. So it's very symbolic, I think, that this particular kite flew with me on that mission. This kite has been into space. I wouldn't say it's flown in space, but it has been into space. It completed with me about 200 or so orbits of the Earth, which makes this a very well-traveled kite, having completed about 5 million miles to come back to this organization. So I'd like to take a moment, if I could, and present this to ScienceWorks from NASA. And with that, I will thank you, and I am very happy and proud to declare the space exhibit officially open. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. What a delight. We have many people to thank for making this exhibition possible. SciTech, we've mentioned. I'd particularly like to pay tribute to the ScienceWorks team and the broader Museum Victoria team, all of whom have helped us not only to put the exhibition on the floor, but of course to make this evening's event possible. So please join me in thanking them. I'll get it right. Also to Arts Victoria for helping us to indemnify this exhibition. Without this indemnification, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for us to showcase exhibitions such as this and others. So thanks to Arts Victoria. And of course, in particular, thanks to the NASA Astronaut Office for allowing us to borrow Andy from his busy schedule. So thank you all very much. I'm now going to invite Andy and Patrick to come with me while we place this very carefully in its display case, and invite you all to now come and enjoy the exhibition. Please also enjoy our hospitality. If you could do that outside and enjoy the exhibition inside, that would be terrific. Thanks again.